Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew. We'll start there. Matthew chapter 24. And also want to read a passage out of Revelation chapter 2. Matthew 24. Talk to you this day about a love grown cold. Amen. So don't look at your companion, but anyway. The love of God is powerful. It's the theme of Scripture. Praise the Lord. It's the theme of the Bible, really. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 3. Now as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Verse 6, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, and they will deliver you up to tribulation to kill you and to be hated, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, we have the message of Jesus. He spoke personally to the church at Ephesus. Revelation 2 and 1, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, and I thank you, Lord, for your presence and your Holy Spirit. And I ask you, God, that you would just talk to the heart and the soul, the mind, the life of every person here, as only you can do. Anoint your servant, God, to preach the word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A love grown cold. I will use this illustration because it really happens, really true. And some are not, this one is. Man. But people, kids, if they're young enough, they can say nearly anything and get by with it. And people, when they get old enough, they say things that they wanted to say when they were younger. But they don't. But yes, they do sometimes. And I'll use this illustration about a love grown cold. When I was in my home church at De Leon many years ago, there was a couple in the church, and they were both older than, they weren't in the youth group. They're senior citizens, really senior. But they fell in love, and they were both in their 80s, so they got married. And so, you know, I'm sure they thought it was a love that would be forever. And I guess it was. But one night, this man, he called my pastor and he said, "Pastor, would you come over here and pray for us?" Like I said, old people can say nearly anything. And the pastor said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Well, her name was Pearl." He said, "Pearl fell off the bed and broke her old toe." Then he said, I wished it had broke her old head. That may be an example of love grown cold. But here we have in Scripture, and in referring to a Revelation passage that I read you, we have a church at Ephesus, and Jesus personally addresses this church, one of the seven churches here, and it's not a church of some age or another. It was one of the churches. We're in the church age, so it could apply to any church. You can see a loveless church today. You can see a dead church or a compromising church or a corrupt church today that's mentioned here. But we'll see in the church where the love had grown cold, we find that Ephesus was known for its love. Matter of fact, a letter that Paul wrote to them in Ephesians 1:15, therefore also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints, so they had love, but it had begun to grow cold. And Jesus addresses this. He says, I have something against you because you have left your first love. And one of the mark of the last days, according to Jesus, was the love of many will grow cold. One of the signs of the end times, people began to love things and other things more than they love God, and love for his work has grown cold. And so often people at some point in their relationship with God begin to drift. Not everybody does, but some do. Many do. And they drift in their relationship with God, and then they become cold spiritually. And this is one of the signs of the end time. Many, a love of many will grow cold. And I look at this in Scripture, and I wonder, I say, how could anybody grow cold in the relationship with the Lord? Well, people do. People that have been good Christians do. People that have been on fire for God at one time do. And so we know that it can happen. Was there anybody in the Bible whose love had grown cold that had been saved? Yes, there were. Paul had ministered, and one of his converts was a man named Demas. And sadly, Paul writes of him in one place, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And so, I don't know what he was in love with, but he had slipped in his relationship with God somewhere where Paul had to tell him, or had to say that he's in love with this present world, meaning probably he was no really in love with Jesus like he should have been. However, God's love for his people is eternal, and God's love for you never grows cold. Because you see, love is who God is. The Bible does say in one place, God is love. And love is the theme of the Bible. God so loved that he gave. Amen. And without love, my friend, there would be no hope for anybody. If God hadn't loved you and I, sinners, amen, if God hadn't loved us while we were still sinners and offered us the means of salvation, the means of reconciliation with him for our sin, there would be no heaven, there would be no eternal life, there would be no reconciliation, a settled account with God, there would be no forgiveness of sins. It would be a life without God, without hope, without heaven, without eternity. My friend, we're a blessed people today because God never stopped loving us, nor has his love ever grown cold for you and I. But let's look at this for a few minutes, if we would. The cause, first of all, of love growing cold. Here in the church in Ephesus, Revelation 2, it was a thriving, spirit-filled church, and it had been planted in the midst of a pagan world with the worshipers of the goddess Diana, whose image supposedly fell down from Jupiter. And in Ephesus here, it was a place of political, commercial, and religious center. They had money, they had businesses, they had religion. Almost everybody has religion, but religion is just man's search for God. It's fulfilled in Christ. And they were known as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, known for the Temple of Artemis, one of the ancient wonders of the world. Craftsmen profited in that city by carving images of the goddess Diana, which allegedly fell from Jupiter, and they would sell these, and that was their business. That was their way of making a living. They carved images and sold them. I don't know for how much, but they sold them. Anyway, they made their living that way. But you see, when the power of the gospel began to spread in Ephesus, it caused trouble. Because people that made their living from this began to get born again and saved, and they quit worshiping the goddess Diana, and they began to worship the one true God and his son Jesus. Amen. And so you see, friend, the church, you and I, must be centered around Christ. We're not here to promote somebody or something or some earthly thing that somebody's invented. We're here to promote Christ. I'll tell you, friend, I can't help you. I can't save you. I can't forgive you. I can't give you peace. I can't give you hope. Amen. But I know a Jesus that can and does every day. Hallelujah. Without him, there'd be no hope. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If that's all there is, just this life. But no, God has given us eternal hope. Man. And so the church must be centered around Christ. And so here it had begun to fade a little bit in the church at Ephesus. And Jesus brought that to their attention. Because you see, fellowship, edification, or encouragement of the saints revolves around talk about Jesus. When fellowship no longer involves our Savior, it is a sign of spiritual coldness. When we are no longer concerned for the loss, are we really in love with Jesus? And the people of the Ukraine right now, are we really right with God, or has our love grown cold if we do not feel and pray for them? My friend, God has called us to be a church of prayer. Amen. Jesus said that we to be a prayer for all nations. Amen. And that's what we do. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter because they don't live next door. God has no limits on time and space, and he can travel. Amen. And he's not limited by anything that we're limited by. And when we can pray, and prayer is not limited either. Prayer doesn't just stop at the back door here. Prayer goes on. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, yeah, the church is about fellowship. And let me get on that for just a minute. You say, well, I'm picking on you today. That's all right. I'm paid to pick. Not really. But I remember a time, you know, that whenever I was young in the church, and after church, almost always, somebody would invite us over, or we would invite them over, and we'd go to the house, and we'd fellowship, have communion. You'd have not communion, but we'd have fellowship. And, you know, it always has to be something to eat. And so I always wanted to go to the houses where they had something good to eat, pie and cake and that kind of thing. But after church, you know, people get together, and the conversation, the fellowship and the conversation would be on end times. It'd be a conversation about spiritual things, how God helped me through this, and there would be testimonies and people, and it was an encouraging time. People got together for fellowship. And that was before the TV came along. But when the TV came along, it became to replace all of that, and we went over to a certain house, and then the television would be the focus, and we would watch what was on TV because it was new and that kind of thing. And and then the conversation became about the Rifleman, Bonanza, High Chaparral, and thinking about how Hoss could help us. But you see, and I'm not saying preaching against TV, and those who preach the heart against it eventually got one. But yet it cannot be the idol in our life. And they preached against it at first. They preached about the one-eyed demon in the middle of your living room. That's what they called it. Cattail jacked up over the roof. That was the antenna. And they preached against those things, and then everybody began to get one, and it was less sinful than it used to be. But I don't want to tell you that even today there are very sinful things that come over it. We need to be careful about what we fill our mind, our heart with, and our eyes with. And so we need to be excited about the things of God and not grow cold in our love for Christ and love for his church and love for his people. But we need to be on fire for God and love God with all of our heart, soul, and our mind. That's the first commandment in the Old Testament, the greatest commandment. To love your neighbor as yourself, the second. And let's ask this question. When was the last time you were excited about being saved and being excited about headed for heaven? I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm joyous today. I'm not on my way to hell, but on my way to heaven.
We need to be excited about that. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I've heard all that. I've heard all of that too, but I'm still excited about going to heaven. Hallelujah. I don't want the alternative. I want to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. And last time then you thought about the price it took to get you on your way to heaven, that's Christ on the cross. And when's the last time we were excited about having good news to share with somebody, to tell somebody something that meant something? Man, we can hear all kinds of stuff on the news media. We can hear all kinds of, you can even hear newscasters cuss now. When I grew up, if you said a cuss word, my parents would give you global warming in another way. But anyway, but my friend, church, don't stray from your Savior. I'm not saying you don't, it's not sin to watch the news. You need to go know what's going on, that's fine. But don't stray from your Savior. Don't let anything else take God's place in your life. Amen. Don't leave your first love. It was God that saved you. Christ that died for you. Rose again from the dead. It's Christ that's coming back for you, I believe, soon one day. And we don't want to be in love with the world. We don't believe in love with our Savior. Praise God. We don't want to leave our first love. 1 John 2:15 still says the same thing. Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. And the condition there, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's strong. That's as strong a message as you can get, as strong a preach as you can get, as Brother John preached. If you're in love with the world, you're not in love with Jesus. How many fall into the category of the love of God is not in them? That's a scary thought. But when the fire of revival begins to die down, then people begin to grow spiritually cold and begin to sit back and say, I've heard all that before, you know, but I'm ready to go home. It's lunchtime and the preacher's too long-winded. And anyway, all kinds of excuses come up. And so, I'll have you out of here by midnight, I promise. No, sooner. But when the fire of revival begins to die down, people become cold spiritually. And this is a reason for so many denominations in our culture today. Man, when some denominations would get cold and things weren't happening there, then they would begin another denomination. Don't think that was ever the will of God, but it happens. Back in the Great Awakening, 1700s, in the Methodist Church, a man began to preach the gospel, a powerful gospel. And Jonathan Edwards preached hell so hot you could feel the heat. In one of his sermons called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And if those people in that church were cold, they weren't when he got done. Because it said while he was still looking at his notes and his eyes were dim, he could barely see his preaching notes, that people began to cry out and holler out saying, not me, God, and begin to run to the altar and repent. I would that that would happen in America again today, a great awakening again. Because God hadn't changed, his word hadn't changed, his eternal things haven't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still our God. He's still our Savior. He's still the reason we're on our way to heaven. He's still the reason we have eternal life and eternal hope and eternal love and grace. Nothing we could earn ourselves. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Let me meddle a little bit more. It seems today that people are more, instead of being in love with Jesus and the Word of God, people are more interested in cell phones, social media, internet, than they are the Word of God. My friend, we hold a treasure here in our hands that people have died for us to have, to be able to read the Scriptures. And I'm thankful when next month or two Gideon International will be coming here and they'll be telling us what Bibles are doing all the world. In some 200 and or so countries of the world, they have Bibles in their languages. And good news. Praise the Lord for that. And the internet's not bad. It can be. There's evil things on the internet. There's evil things on social media. There's evil things on phones now that have the internet. And, you know, there's people that can't even sit through church. If this convicts you, it's supposed to. There's people that can't sit through church by seeing if they got text.
My friend, let's let the Holy Spirit text us this morning and said, I want your attention. And I want to fill you with the love of Jesus again. And if you've grown cold, God doesn't want you to be cold. God wants you to be on fire for Him. And God loves you. And God cares for you. And God will strengthen you. And God will help you. Amen. And so, today, it's internet, iPads, iPhones that are turned on even just church services. And it makes the question, what are you in love with? Or who are you in love with? Well, let's notice the church at Ephesus here, and I know you're ready for me to move on to some better things. Yes, I am. And so there are some good things here in the church at Ephesus. Verses 2 and 3 in Revelation 2 says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear with those who are evil. At least they had resistance to evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You see, false prophets or false teachers in the church is not anything new. It's always been there, because where there's truth that's preached and proclaimed, there's going to be the devil around to try to promote a lie to that, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. And so, when we pray for the persecuted church family, we are in pursuit of God's love. We are caring, we are sharing in the suffering of our church family. And we must be a praying church if we're not a church at all, if we're not a praying church. This should prompt us to pray now for believers in the Ukraine today. Wars and rumors of wars are happening all over our world against the gospel and its spread. But here, a war against atheism in Ukraine, really, Russia, atheistic nation. Coming, when they come against God's people, they're coming against God. And they're not more powerful than God. But they, the church at Ephesus, had tested what they had heard with the truth of Scripture. They tested it with the Word of God. And false prophets then and now. And here a group called the Nicolaitans were a sect of Gnostics who taught the community of wives free love, and that adultery and fornication was not sinful. You know, they weren't in love with Jesus. They were in love with their sinful lifestyle. But that come into the church. It's nothing new today. It happens. Should never happen in the church, but it does. But you know, church, we are to test things with the Bible and believe the Holy Spirit to show us what is true and what is false. Man. And it bothers me today when people get up and say, I'm an apostle so-so, or I'm a prophet so-and-so. You know, if you're a prophet, if you're an apostle, it'll come out, and if what you say comes to pass, it'll tell whether you're a prophet or not. That's what it says in the Old Testament anyway. And so, yes, I do believe God uses prophecy today. I believe God uses people that are called to go to certain places for a certain people, an apostle. Yes, I do believe God does all of that. But he didn't invent the pulpit for us to brag about it. Amen. Let's look to Jesus. Let's let Jesus be the center of the church again. And is there any test for the lost? Is there any love for the lost? Let's test. We've tested everything by Scripture. Let's test this. In the church today, is there any love for the lost? Is there any message of repentance, restoration, or spiritual renewal? Because you see, that's what we need. We get to the point where we need to be restored, we need to repent, and we need to be renewed spiritually. Praise God, it's not just enough just to get saved one time and say 40 years ago I came and signed the church roll and I'm okay forever, I don't need the church anymore. You need the church, you need God's, you need people to encourage you, not just the preacher, you need brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage one another in the faith. Praise the Lord. And you can test a ministry, you say, does every ministry, every sermon, every teaching have money signs behind it? Or is it claim if you'll serve, if you'll promote this ministry and give to it, then you'll be blessed with a better income? And if you send a donation, particularly to this place, or does the ministry challenge you to draw near to God? My friend, if we'll draw near to God, that's the answer. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We need to be close to God. We need to be near to God. We need to be able to hear His voice. We need to know what's right and what's wrong, what's false and what's true. We need to know, need to be close to God so that we're not led astray. And I'm not picking on any ministry in particular. I'm not calling any names, but I want to tell you something, friend. You don't have to. You can listen and hear the Word of God and check it out by the Word of God. And if it lines up with the Word of God, then it's truth. If it doesn't, then it's not truth. The book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God or because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Matthew 24:11, "Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many." Because you see, deception is one of Satan's greatest tools to deceive. 2 Timothy 3:13, speaking of the last days, Paul writes to his son Timothy in the faith. He says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Probably one of the best, most used, needed gifts of the Spirit today in the church is the gift of discernment. Amen. It says that in 1 Corinthians 12:10. Continuing on, 1 John 4, 1 through 4, verse 2, "But this you know, the Spirit of God." Here's the test. "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." It's not some other God out there. It's not some great spiritual leader somewhere, but confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus took on the form of humanity, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. "Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." There are religions out there, people out there that say that Jesus was a good man, a great teacher with a good set of rules that we should go by, but they do not believe he was the Son of God. But hear it this morning, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He wasn't just a son that God invented somewhere along the line. He is eternal, he's always been eternal, will always be eternal. Praise God, he's the Son of God. Son of man, yes, but Son of God eternally. "And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is already in the world. Things that appeal to the flesh, the world, and the devil are not of God." That includes video games that are full of violence and that produce anything but a God-fearing generation that's really in love with Jesus. My friend, you need to be careful what you give your kids and your grandkids. "I got to have this. Is it full of violence?" Amen. No wonder our country's full of violence. It's not just that. It's other things. Amen. You say you're picking on me. Yes, I am. Because I want to keep you from the things that will hurt you and cause you to lose your love for God. I'm not loving what some game can do for me or how thrilling it is, and there's nothing wrong with a game. Amen. But I am saying this. It doesn't need to compete for your love with God. Nothing must compete with your love for God. You must love God with all your heart. And things that appeal to something else beside God eventually take the place of God in your life, and that's called idolatry. So don't let your love for your Savior fade. Stay in love with Jesus. Let us be a church in love with God, His Word, and eternal work. Amen. I will end with this illustration. Years ago, there was a man that had plenty of money. He had everything that money could buy and had money to throw away if he wanted to. And he had nothing. All he had, his wife was deceased, but he had one invalid son, which he loved very much. And he hired a maid to take care of the son while he was at work or wherever. And he told her, he's handed her the credit card and said, "Buy him anything he wants. Buy anything you need here. Anything you want. Entertain him any way you want to. Money's not an issue at all. Spend all the money you want to spend on him." And so that maid stayed with that boy, and consequently, the maid became very affectionate and loved the boy very much, as his dad did. But one day, the boy passed away, and it was a sad time. And eventually, the father passed away. When they began to search, there was no will made out for all of his wealth that he had, and he had very much wealth. No will made out. They couldn't find one at the bank in the lockbox. They couldn't find one anywhere, a will made out. And so a court-appointed attorney allowed some of the family and some of the people to come over and take things from the house. And there was every type of fancy furniture that money could buy and everything that you could think of. The house was furnished. elaborately with expensive gifts and expensive things. And so the people began to pick out things they wanted, and the court-appointed attorney would let them take it out of the house and take it home. But the maid that kept the boy, she never said she wanted anything the whole time the attorney was there. But last of all, there was a picture of the boy hanging on the wall, the invalid boy. And everybody had left, and she said, I want the picture of that boy that's hanging on the wall. The court attorney said, okay, you can have it. And when they took it down from the wall, something fell out of the back of it, and it was the will. And the will says, this is yours, for whoever loves my son is heir to all that I own. That's what Jesus has done for us. Whoever loves the Son of God, Christ, is heir to all that he has. And he has everything. And we received a wonderful, incorruptible inheritance with Christ that'll never fade, never fall. It'll be forever. Amen. And it won't just be for physical life, but it'll be for eternal life. Amen. There's coming a time when your spirit man will leave your body and your body will die. But your spirit goes to be with Jesus. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, Paul says. And so that's where we want to be. Don't let your love grow cold for Christ. You just keep in pursuit of the love of God. You just be in pursuit of God's word. You lead your family to God. We are still the church of the living God that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I believe he's coming back and he's looking for it. And he's coming back for those that are looking for him. Those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. We're going to know it when he comes. He's coming back for a glorious church, a blood-washed church. Amen. A church looking for the return of Christ. Amen. When he comes, everybody's going to know that he's coming. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, Matthew 24 and 27, for as the lightning comes from the east and shines, flashes to the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Nobody's going to miss it. They're going to know that the Savior has come. And the gospel that was preached that Jesus is coming again will be fulfilled. And our Savior's going to come with the 10,000 of his saints with him. Amen. We'll be raptured, be with Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So the writer here tells the church, Jesus, remember where you have fallen. He's saying get back in love with Jesus. Or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Another way they'd lose out with God. No. He said repent. And I'll give you to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In heaven, there's nothing but life. Book of life, tree of life, river of life. Nothing but life in heaven. That's where you want to go. Let's be in love with our Savior. Praise God.